Well, today we are going to talk about leadership and the Lord's church. And again, what a blessing that is. God has gifted us. I learned a long time ago, I am stupid in many ways. I'm smart in some ways, but I'm very stupid in other ways. And it's that there are times that I am in desperate need of someone else to be helpful to me. I got to find somebody I can trust, because anybody could take me for everything I've got on a car, because I'm kind of stupid in those ways. But I can preach, you know, I get to do these kind of things, and I enjoy that. And I'm smart in certain areas and struggle in others. That's just the way it goes for all of us. And I've learned I need leadership in my life. I need people that are going to inspire me and teach me and help me to become the kind of person that I. I need to become the kind of person that I need to become. I need somebody I can trust. I need somebody that I can believe in. And again, I'm so thankful to be in a congregation and in the larger body of Christ with so many people who have been helpful to me along the way, whether it was a Bible class teacher who just taught me the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles, or a preacher who was helping me inspire me along the way. My own parents were very helpful to me in their leadership in my life. Oh, I could count. I could count a multitude of people. In my family, when I married Kimberly, all of a sudden I had more people in that family that were helpful to me. I know leadership is incredibly important. And I'd like to talk, as we talk about leadership, I'd like to talk, I'm going to go to the book of Acts. Sorry, Jack, I'm not stealing your thunder, all right? But we're so familiar with Acts right now that I'd like to come from the book of Acts again and talk about some leaders that were chosen for the church with a particular need that they had. Acts chapter 6, verse 1. Says, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. And we will give our attention to the prayer and ministry of the word. Well, this proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and even a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now, this story starts with a pretty difficult problem. They are in need because you remember in Acts chapter 2, which Jack talked about on Wednesday, in Acts chapter 2, one of the characteristics of the church is they share everything in common. But we've now broadened past Jerusalem, broadened past the typical Palestinian Jews, the Hebraic-speaking Jews, and we've started to move into the Greek-speaking Jews. And the common ownership, the meeting of common needs that was happening in Jerusalem is not happening. We've got kind of a cultural issue here, a racial even division that could be happening. It's definitely a linguistic issue that is happening. The church is growing, and part of the growing pains is something's not being done. And so, as we saw in the passage, specific leaders are chosen out of the people. I love how the apostles do this. This is not an on high directive, but they gather the disciples and they say, choose from among yourselves. There's that sense of we want people that you trust, that you're going to support, that you're going to believe in, that you're going to follow. So choose. And they allowed the church to recognize the spirituality, the character, and the ability of people in their midst and said, they're the ones who should lead us in this. What a wonderful day that must have been. Again, we see certain divisions that may have just cracks in the unity that may have started here. But because the apostles said, let's speak with one voice and the people speak. Now there is a bringing together of people. Often scholars look at the names of people there, which are hard to pronounce. I have no idea if I said them right, but it's a dead language anyway, so don't worry about it. These are actually Hellenistic Greek type names. They're Jewish people, but they choose people that know what the situation is all about. They're in it, and they want to. And now they will lead them into crossing this linguistic, cultural, even kind of a racial barrier that they're beginning to cross. So specific leaders were chosen from the people to carry out a ministry of care and growth. It is not just an organizational ministry of taking care of widows, but you'll see it becomes even broader than that. So it begins with, we have real serious needs not being met, and it ends up being the growth of the church overall. An exciting time for the church there. So I just want to, what do we learn in this passage about the recognized servants? Everybody's a servant. That's not what's being talked about here. But what about those who are given a special place? Those who are recognized as those special servant leaders that will, in this case, in Acts chapter 6, take them across barriers that have come up to the church. What do we learn about them here? Well, first of all, we do learn that they are spirit-led. If you remember from, again, Jack's class, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, my spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. And it kind of then at that point gives a table of contents for the book of Acts in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Well, that's exactly what's happening. We're expanding past Jerusalem into Judea, Hellenistic speaking Jews. We need a new form of leadership here to help us continue that. Choose people who are full of the Spirit, who have the Spirit leading them. And that Spirit is going to lead them to people who are in need. It's going to lead them to people that need to be reached. And I want you to see as well about these servants. These servants are not chosen, these leaders are not chosen just to maintain business. Leaders are chosen to take us into new territory. Koila, I know you're being insulted. I'm not just talking to you. I hope you know. I'm talking to all of us who have that recognized kind of leadership. I hope you'll re-examine your ministry. Again, whether it's a title of deacon or not, but I hope you'll examine your ministry and realize I have been given special gifts in order to lead into new territory that the church needs to enter. Here it's to a racial and linguistic change that needs to happen. What is the growth that needs to take place? What is the new direction we need to take? And so leaders are not chosen just to maintain. Leaders are chosen to expand, to take the church into new territory that it hasn't been before. In fact, that ministry isn't just an expansive ministry to start with. It is a constantly expanding ministry. It continues to broaden its vision for who it can serve, who the ministry can serve, who the ministry can reach, who can the church reach. Stephen's going to be stoned in chapter 7. He is not stoned for feeding widows. Now, that's what he was chosen to do, but he's chosen, he doesn't just feed widows. He expands his ministry. This is not only a feeding ministry, an organizational ministry. This is a ministry to cross a barrier that the church needs to cross. That's what gets him in trouble. You can see in Acts chapter 6, right after our passage we just read. It says, "Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people." We find out that he's been up in the northern regions of the Palestinian area, and he has been he's been speaking some things about how, you know, it's not Jerusalem that's most important. It's Jesus. It's not just the temple that's most important. It's the body of Christ that is of central importance. His ministry has expanded into a wealth of preaching, and preaching to new people, probably preaching in new languages, and it's growing. That's why he gets in trouble, because an expanding ministry means, are we really going to fellowship all those people? The answer is, yes, we are. That's what Stephen's answer is. It gets him in trouble. You'll see over in Acts chapter 8, after Stephen is stoned by the Sanhedrin, you see Philip, another one of those chosen. As the church is scattered because of persecution that goes on in Jerusalem, Peter went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there. He was chosen for that task. Cross barriers. Be Christ in a different place with different people. And indeed, he is. He expands his ministry even in the face of persecution. God, and we know Philip, obviously, in chapter 8, is going to then be used to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch as well. God equips his church with gifted leaders. And I hope I think this is important. I hope you stop thinking about God's gifts as just what you have, your resources, your talents, those kind of things. I hope instead you see you are the gift. God has gifted you, yes, with many resources, but you now are the gift given to the church. And you are the gift now given to the world. And I just think that's a wonderful way to think of yourself. You are God's gift to people, and he has placed you here because you have purpose here. And recognizing that, the church agrees to follow the lead of this chosen person, of these chosen people, to lead us into new places to do work. And that's why the apostles bring them up and lay their hands on them and bless them, because they are chosen by the church, for the church, to lead the church. And everyone is going to be behind that. We're going to have a special time right now of installing a new deacon. And again, it is a recognition, not of just one person, although we want to make this a very personal time, but it is a recognition. Wow, God chose that person. What is God choosing me to do? First of all, before we begin this, I'm going to ask Bob and Judy to be heading up this way to start our time together. But Mike, last week we also reaffirmed you as a deacon. And while you've been a deacon for quite a while and a leader in this congregation, I think it's very appropriate for us to recognize as a church that we reaffirm you as a leader of ours by voting for you, whatever that says, but by voting for you, we have said, continue to lead us in ministry. And so we just want you to know we put our trust in you as well. I want to pray for you right now. God, I pray for Mike and Lori and their leadership that they show. It is spiritual leadership. You've given them many talents and resources, but most important is you've given them to us. And because of that, we give you thanks. And we pray that as we have reaffirmed Mike as a deacon of this church, we have also reaffirmed our willingness for him to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, and to open doors for us that we've not walked through before. So again, thank you for his leadership and the congregation's, I believe, unanimous support of Mike's leadership. So bless him in all he does. Now we want to just give our time to recognizing a new deacon in our midst that you've gifted her as well to us. And we want to give you praise and thanks for Koyla and for Dick and their amazing service to this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Congratulations, Koyla. It was not only an election, but a unanimous election to serve this congregation as deacon. The installation committee asked that I make some personal comments about you based on our long friendship. And indeed, it is a long friendship, over 56 years. And I'm going to make a little insert here to tell you that I think this is really special. Today is exactly the 56th anniversary of this congregation, of this group of people meeting in this building. There was the group in Pasadena, then the break off to East Pasadena, but it was March 1st, 1964, that this group, Christians, first met in this, what was a Jewish synagogue. So I thought that was very timely that should be the same day. I think that may be the first day that Bill and I attended this congregation looking for a new church for ourselves. So you and I hit it off right away, in fact, to such an extent that we became roommates together in an apartment. And as I look back to those early years, and to me not only knowing Koyla that long, I can look through and say, the people who knew Koyla at that time would be Sharon, Bob, Bill Simcock, who's here, Dick Smith, Linda Massey, her sister, who's known her whole life, and maybe more. But this is a testimony. We are a testimony to Koyla's long service for this church and of her love for this congregation and her love for the brotherhood of the churches of Christ altogether, because we're stepping a little bit out of line here to install a woman as a deacon. But believe me, it comes from a deep devotion and love from every woman here supporting Koyla in this. Now, in those early days, this congregation was characterized by women who were strong and talented and involved in this church, but all often behind the scenes, women like Koyla's mother and Linda's mother, Inez Nelson, Bob's mother, Lola Spare, Frances Cole, Evelyn Clark, and Lucretia Scott. And these were the women who you grew up with, Koyla, and who became role models for you. Your mother was probably the leader of the pack, because I remember her well and how gracious she was with always timely advice for those of us younger women. And these women worked behind the scenes, helping each other, encouraging each other, mentoring each other. This is kind of silly, but I remember Evelyn Clark asking, does anyone want to learn how to make homemade bread? Be at my house this Tuesday. and we made homemade bread in dish pans. But to a young woman, that was really neat that someone, a lady in the church, would teach me to do something like that. And later she said, would you girls like to learn to do stretch and sew sewing? And we were spread out all through our whole house sewing together. So the women of this church were very involved in different, all different ways. Now your training and experience as a teacher led you to really work in the children's program. And you worked, I think you taught continually until just a couple of years ago, but you supervised young women to be teachers in the education program. You worked on the curriculum. Koyla has been in behind the scenes in charge of the Christmas program as long as I can remember, often doing the Christmas program and coming in and helping with the Christmas lunch, always there serving. And besides working in the education, she was always an organizer of potlucks, baby showers, a welcoming committee at the door, calling people who were sick, writing the bulletin. Was there anything left for the rest of us? But Koyla did this so ably. She served as the treasurer of our church for a number of years. And with that, she puts out a quarterly financial statement that looks like something professional that a banker would do. So all these things she has done behind the scenes without saying a word about it, in humility and I don't want to leave out anything. And this she has done. Her partner, Dick, and Koyla have been married for 52 years. They have two children who are both faithful believers, Scott and his wife, Sharon, in Superior, Colorado, and Carolyn in Monrovia. And I want to just say a couple things about Koyla personally, but I should have called her beforehand. But Koyla still works as a substitute teacher for the Arcadia School District. She's involved all these years in a children's music camp in Idlewild. She and Dick work on that together, a member of Assistance League in Arcadia. And in addition, her hobby of hiking and camping takes them away. And they have a new motorhome now to enjoy motorhome camping. So I want to thank Koyla from me, from the rest of the congregation. And then I like to think of, remember when Jerry Rushford told us this soffit that goes around the inside of the church is our gallery of saints. This is where all those who have passed on are sitting as we meet together, because we're meeting together with us and with Lloyd and Inez and Jerry and June Kerr, and we can go on and Dick and they are looking down, I'm sure, very pleased, because you are very qualified and worthy to be a deacon of this congregation. And I personally thank you very much for doing what you're doing. Thank you, Koyla.
Well, Judy, that was beautiful. I'm trying to think if there's anything that Koyla's done that I can mention that you haven't. It might be difficult, or I'll try to think of a few things. First of all, I want to tell you how honored I am to be asked to participate in this very historic moment in our church. And I think next to Linda, I've known Koyla longer than anyone in the congregation, probably longer than most of the people in her life. So it's a distinct honor for me to be here. my parents and Lloyd and Inez Nelson were very, very close friends. And so Coyle and I have grown up together, although I am considerably older. But I remember her when she was in Pigtails. And so we've had just a wonderful relationship for all of these years. Lloyd and Inez were really pillars in the church. Lloyd was an elder and very involved at Pepperdine. He was chairman of the board there at one time. And Inez was very instrumental in all the activities of the church. And I think of that old phrase, the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. I think that we can say about Coyle. When I think about Coyle, I think about the Energizer Bunny. But for Coyle, it is really being about her father's work. About her father's work is really being about God's work. And I think that's driven her so much that she does. Recently, Barbara asked Dick Grum, how do you keep up with her? And Dick said, I don't try, just keep out of the way. Well, Dick, as we know, behind every woman, there's a great man. And Dick, to coin another phrase, as we know, Dick has been very instrumental in working with Coyle and all the good works that he has provided for our congregation. And we thank him for that. there's a phrase that kept popping into my mind when I was thinking about what to say here today. That was, no need goes unanswered. Think about that. No need goes unanswered. And that really describes Coyle. Coyle is very perceptive, and she anticipates needs, and she responds without being asked. But importantly, she does that without being intrusive. And no need is too large or too small for her to address. Sometimes we think about a small problem is really not worth our time. But to the person who has that small problem, it's very important to them, and she addresses those. Coyle learned a great deal, I think, from her mother, which Judy has referred to, from Inez, from her spirit of generosity and service. My sister, Susan, was married when she was at USC in a small family service. And Inez learned about this and said, Susan, have you had a shower? And she said, no, we haven't had one. She said, well, you're going to have one now. And she got together the ladies in the church and put on a beautiful shower for her. I don't know if Coyle and Linda remember that, but that was Inez, and that's Coyle today. A personal experience, and I've had many, I've been a beneficiary of her kindnesses. Judy, my wife, was in the hospital for 9 weeks. Coyle was there so often that the nurses thought that she's part of the family. But she was there to give support, not only to Judy, but to me and to all the family. And when Judy came home, Coyle was there, not every day, but very often to give support to us. And at the end, when Judy was gone, Coyle asked me if I wanted to have a memorial service in the church. And I said, of course I do. And she said, in her words, good, you don't have to do a thing. It's all taken care of. And it was beautiful. So what a blessing she's been to all of us who have been beneficiaries of her kindness. And those kindnesses are not offered out of a sense of duty, but it's really out of a sense of caring and compassion and love. But also, Judy, you gave a shout out to the ladies in the congregation. I would like to also. It's not only Coyle, but so many of the women here who take care of the little things on a day-to-day basis. And we just kind of take it for granted, doing the potlucks, doing weddings, doing showers, doing the communion elements, coffee and donuts and things like that. And they're all such an instrumental part of this congregation. And in closing, I would like to just read a few words from Proverbs. And this is in the 31st chapter. And These words, I think, were written by Solomon, but these are words which King Lemuel was taught by his mother. And it was about women in general, but in particular about wives. And I'll just a couple of the sentences in here. She extends her hand to the poor, yet she reaches out her hands to the needy. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own words praise her in the gates. Thank you.
Well, I just want to read a few notes from some of the ministers that come to visit us. This is from Ron Cox, who is in Uganda right now. So he's sorry that he couldn't be here. He would have loved to have been here. But Ron says, a deacon must be worthy of respect. 1 Timothy 3, 8 and 11. When I received the news that Coyla was to be named a deacon for the Sierra Madre Church, my initial reaction was, this is right and good and beautiful. Coyla has had my respect and trust for as long as I can remember. I have watched you all closely over the years out of love, not in a creepy way. And Coyla's service and thoughtfulness consistently anchors me in my own devotion to this body. Coyla has a steady and intentional presence, evincing a quiet, deep love plus a well-timed sense of humor. I envy the other deacons and Darren in working with her in this new capacity. And I'm grateful to be part of this body where we recognize her continuing leadership in this new God-ordained way. Ron says, since I'm in Africa, I could not write this in concert with Shelley, who I know loves and respects Coyla as much as I do, and who celebrates what God is doing with becoming one of our deacons. I'd also like to read from Doug Hurley. Coyla, the kingdom of God has grown and expanded because of your service and leadership for many years. I appreciate the way you've given many hours behind the scenes, all for the glory of Christ and his church. You are a great partner in ministry, and I'm glad we are now simply recognizing all the good works you are already doing. Thank you for being my friend and a fellow lover of the outdoors and all things hiking and Yosemite related. God bless you as you accept his call to service. That's from Doug. And then I also received, let me find this, just this morning from Jerry Rushford. Thank you, Coyla Grum, for answering the call of the Lord. You've been endowed with a servant heart all your life. May the Lord be with you and give you strength as you answer the call of God to use your giftedness in serving as a deacon in the church. That's from Jerry. I'd like to invite all of our leadership team, deacons, to come up, and Coyla, if you come up and join us. Dick, you're going to read a passage, and then I'll read a passage as well, and then Mike, give the charge to Coyla. So Dick and Bill and Bob.
Deacons, likewise, must be men of dignity and not double-tongued, or nor addicted at much wine, or fond of sordid gain. The holding to the mystery of the faith, with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then the men serve as deacons. If they are beyond reproach.
And then in Romans chapter 3, chapter 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully.
So the passage there in 1 Timothy that Dick read starts off by addressing the men, and then it goes in and addresses the women. I don't know if it's speaking to the men's wives or the deaconesses, but I was struck when I was thinking about the charge this morning, the commonalities between those two sections. And it starts off by saying that the men, the deacons, must be dignified. It says the same thing about the women, must be worthy of dignity. What's dignity? Dignity is being worthy of respect, worthy of honor, worthy of having an honor bestowed upon you. As we've heard this morning, that certainly describes Koila to a T. I just want to reiterate a couple of things that we've heard. The notion that Koila has already been doing this job for some time is really not a surprise to any of us. She's been a servant. She's been a worker. As has been recognized, she's been doing it behind the scenes far more than I think any of us know. Certainly, there's a lot that is visible, but I can tell you working with her, particularly over the last few years, after the Bakers left, there were holes that were created. Those got filled. Things needed to be done when we went to remote services around the building. Those things got done. I know Koila was squirming in her seat over there when everyone is lauding her and talking about all the great things that she does. Another testimony to a terrific trait, and that's just humility, all right? Pure and simple.
And she couldn't talk back.
Well, one of the other qualifications is not double-tongued. So we know that she has that. So thank you, Darren, for organizing this. We've never done this before. I will tell you, last week as we prepared for the election, I said I'd be remiss if we didn't comment on the historic nature. I will tell you, I didn't totally appreciate the level of the magnitude of this. For those of you who have been members here a lot longer than I have, I just took it for granted. Because I have worked so closely with Koila and seen all of the work that she does. And as I said, it's really an official recognition of an unofficial job that she's been doing for a long time. And I know y'all join me in thanking her for that, thanking God for the service that she provides. And we're really just grateful for that. And so the charge that I offer today is the charge to all of us, right? Both all of us in the leadership team and all of us who are members and all of us who are Christians. And that is to aspire to fulfill those qualifications that Paul charged Timothy to look for when appointing deacons in the churches. And that is to be people full of dignity, not double-tongued, full of respect, and worthy of the honor that's been bestowed upon Koila this morning. Thank you.
Bill, you finish us off with a prayer?
Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we are thankful to you for the gift of our fellowship here in Sierra Madre. We are thankful to you for the souls that have gone before us to admonish us, to encourage us, to build us, to help bring your faith and strengthen the faith of those who are here to worship together. We are especially thankful to you for Koila and for her long service in this congregation. We ask that you will bless her as she is recognized in accordance with Scripture as a deacon, one who serves this congregation. May you give her continuing life vitality, insight, wisdom, and will you help us all work to help strengthen her, encourage her, and celebrate this occasion. We are thankful to you for your love and for the joy that you give us on a day like this. We pray in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.